Welcome to Short Hops, powered by SideLeague.com. Derek Van Riper here, as always, with Bernie Pleskov. Just a few days away from opening day, Bernie. We are that close, just 4 days away from having a game that counts.
You know, spring, as much as I love spring training, Derek, it did get to be a little old. It did get to be a little tiring. And then you say, boy, just another week and the stuff counts. And I have to tell you, I have a gripe, and I want to talk about my gripe just for a minute, okay?
Sure.
It's a bit of a rant. There is a rule in Major League Baseball that says that you have to send 4 regular players to spring training games. Well, I'm here to tell you that did not happen again this spring. And I feel badly for fans who spend an awful lot of money for airfare, hotels, tickets. They want to see these guys, and they don't show up. You know, if you're not going to play that day, come and warm up, take infield, throw the ball with your teammates, do something. It just bugs me. I just don't get it. These guys are so privileged to play this game, and it isn't asking a lot to play spring training games. I'm sorry.
I can't figure out why in Arizona, especially where the parks aren't that far away from each other, where a ride from the furthest two parks takes, what, maybe an hour and 15 minutes if there's traffic?
At the very most.
Yeah, it's not like it's in Florida, it makes some sense. And even then, you can still send 4 regulars on a road trip. It's not the worst thing in the world for some millionaires to sit in a van for 3 hours. That's not going to ruin their day. Like, it just isn't. So it is frustrating because I've seen the photos this spring. I think it was the Braves that I saw. The photo was a ticket pricing system, like a sidewalk sign, essentially. And tickets ranged from $39 to $59 a piece for spring training games. I mean, there are some parks in Arizona that cost that much. I went to Maryvale to see the Brewers a few weeks ago. I bought a lawn seat for $8, I think it was. So I stood on the concourse behind home plate and watched a game for $8. I mean, $59 for a spring training ticket is completely absurd. But as long as people pay it, they're going to charge it.
They have premier games here that are, you know, more pricey than other games. It's just something that's a pet peeve of mine. And I just think the fans take it on the chin. And we're setting records here in Arizona for the number of people showing up at games. And I think this is something that could be fixed. And it's going to take someone at the highest level to say, look, we're going to fine you if you don't do this. And I know split squad games, that's different. But days when there's no split squad and the guys want to stay back and hit in their own cage, do it early in the morning, get on the bus, and get to the game.
Yeah, it really...
End of rant, sorry, thank you.
It's really frustrating and not something that should be a consistent problem, but it's become one over the last few years. We've got some news items to get to. We're going to talk about our Stake League auction. And then we're going to take a look at all 30 teams to discuss an underrated player on each roster. So a lot of stuff kind of crammed in here to the next hour. I want to start with the Cubs. We knew they were going to send Chris Bryant down because service time matters, and getting a sixth year in exchange for 12 days this season makes a lot of sense. I mean, you're just better off getting that sixth year than having him for 12 extra days at the beginning of his career. So Bryant goes down, Addison Russell goes down, which isn't a surprise. But Javi Baez was also sent to AAA, struggled down the stretch last year, didn't seem to be making many adjustments this spring. For the listeners out there, how long do you expect it to be before Javi Baez is back in Chicago with the big club?
I think it can be a while. I think it will not happen until he learns to hit breaking balls, sliders, curveballs, cutters. And I think either has to lay off them or learn how to hit them. And when I saw him last year and I saw him again in spring training, it looks like he has not made much progress. Now, we have to remember this is a very young player with his whole future ahead of him. It's not the worst thing in the world to be sent out. I think it was a good move. I think it was a smart move because when he does hit the ball, he's got fabulous bat speed, and if he makes contact, the ball just flies off his bat. But you can't have that high strikeout rate. You just can't. Not in big league baseball. So I have to say it was not a surprise.
When you look at the options they have now, it's Tommy La Stella and Arismendi Alcantara. Alcantara, I think, is the much higher ceiling player, a combination of power and speed that you really look for in fantasy players. And last year, he struck out a lot too, especially down the stretch. But I think what he has shown is maybe a little more of an ability to adjust, whereas Baez seems to be perhaps a little more stubborn in his approach. But La Stella may end up being the guy the Cubs want to use at second base in the short term, because he adds some more OBP to the top of that lineup, maybe even a guy that could hit second behind Dexter Fowler in front of the heart of that order.
I think he's got a really good hit tool. I have always liked Tommy La Stella ever since I saw him in the fall league. He makes good barrel of the bat contact. He can get some gap doubles, not going to hit a lot of home runs, but he's got some sneaky power. I think Olt will play third. La Stella will play second. La Stella will play some third for the first, you know, few games until Chris Bryant comes back. They're fine. They're going to be okay with either Olt at third or La Stella at second. They don't have to worry. Alcantara can play third, second, center. He is a very good ball player. He's a super utility guy. He's the Ben Zobrist of the Cubs.
I think Alcantara could also push Chris Coughlin in left field at some point,
too.
I mean, Coughlin was a nice story last year. I'm just not expecting a repeat of what he did a season ago. But the last player I want to talk about from the Cubs is Addison Russell, only because his numbers at Double A last year after he was acquired by the Cubs were excellent for a 20-year-old at that level. He hit .294, had an .868 OPS, 12 home runs in 205 trips to the plate over his last 50 games at the Double A level last season. Do we see him before September, or does that require a trade or an injury to Starlin Castro?
No, I think you'd have to have something go wrong with Castro before you see Russell. I think the Cubs, like any other club, have a plan for every player. You know, they know where they want these players at what month, etc., every year. And I don't think it's his time yet. He is a terrific athlete. He's just as good at shortstop as he is at the plate. I like everything about Addison Russell. I've seen a lot of him here in Arizona, and I just think it's a matter of time. He's, what, 20 years old? So if they want to move Castro, they have an option there. They're just loaded with talent, and he's just another guy in the pipeline.
Could be a series of trades coming from the Cubs mid-season, depending on where they're at when the non-waiver trade deadline rolls around in July. But I think a lot to be determined between now and then, as the Cubs try to continue their rebuilding efforts this season. Let's talk about a few other injury items here. J.J. Hardy is headed to the disabled list, and the good news is he may be back as soon as he's eligible. He's dealing with a shoulder injury. But after he struggled to hit for power last year, Bernie, just 9 home runs for J.J. Hardy after 3 seasons in a row where he had at least 22 home runs, I'm really scaling back my expectations. And he's going from a shortstop that I would target late, hoping for a rebound, to one that I'm probably just going to steer away from completely.
Well, you did steer away from him in a draft that you and I did this week, in an auction we did. He fell to me. I got him for a very inexpensive price. And I put him on my bench until he's healthy. I think the home runs will increase, not by an awful lot, but he's still an extremely good hitter. He can be very dangerous. You know, we're in a new era now. A lot of those guys that were pretty big at one time are not so big anymore. The muscles are all changed. Hardy may have fallen into that category where things have changed with his body. I don't know for sure, but the home run sure did tail off. And I like J.J. Hardy. I think he's got an awful lot to offer, especially at a low price in an auction or deep into a draft.
Yeah, I definitely think there was a little more there before this injury, but maybe you're right. Maybe it's 15 home runs instead of 20-plus as far as what he gets back to if this injury turns out to be something minor. The latest report suggesting that Hardy could be back the first day he's eligible to be activated from the DL happens to be April 11th, just based on the timing of when he's last played in a spring training game. Everett Cabrera gets an early opportunity at short. He's going to be a utility guy for the Orioles who could increase in value too if Jonathan Scope were to scuffle for a prolonged stretch. I could see Cabrera getting some playing time there. I mean, Everett Cabrera had a terrible year on and off the field last season. I still like him as a source of cheap stolen bases because I think in Baltimore, he's going to find his way into the lineup a couple of times per week, even after Hardy returns.
Yeah, it was a nice pickup for them. Nobody seemed to want him. He was suspended. It's a good pickup for them, and they're going to be glad they have him.
One other injury item from the AL East, Koji Uehara is unlikely to be ready for opening day. The fact it's almost a certainty he will be on the disabled list. Edward Mujica has been named as the interim closer, but Junichi Tozawa could also become an option for the Red Sox. I think we discussed that as a possibility last week, but it seems as though Uehara really hasn't made any sort of real progress over the last few days. We've got a few job battles that have been decided, though, Bernie. We'll dive into those. Devin Travis, likely to start at second base for the Blue Jays while Macer is Tourist's hurt. Travis did not play above AA last season, but do you think he can stick and possibly keep this job all year? Because second base has really been a problem spot for the Jays.
He will be my second baseman on our, I think it's our State League team. That's how much I like this guy. He has a big-time bat, a big-time power bat that I think is going to surprise a lot of people. Not a big guy. Look, Toronto gave him picked him up from it was Detroit, and I think it was a great move because they've always had a hole at second base. They gave up Anthony Goes. I like him a lot, and I think he's going to spray the ball all over the field. He may have some issues early in the season, but don't give up on him. I've seen the guy day in and day out in the fall league. I loved what I saw of him, and I'm glad I got him. He was available. This is a guy that's going to fall to you in a draft, and don't be afraid to take him.
Jays are really going to rely on a lot of young talent this year. I mean, Travis and Dalton Pompey both starting in spots up the middle to begin the year. Aaron Sanchez officially in the starting rotation, as is Daniel Norris, which to me is a sign that the Blue Jays get it. Like, they're doing the right thing. They've even got their rotation set up in a way that makes a lot of sense if you believe that their younger starters are the higher ceiling guys compared to the likes of R.A. Dickey and Mark Burley. I think Drew Hutchison's going to get the ball for them on opening day, and Daniel Norris, as the schedule is built out, pitches the third game, which really says a lot about just how much confidence they seem to have in their young pitching. But it's going to be critical to their success this year that at least one of Sanchez or Norris maybe exceeds expectations here in year one.
And I think the Blue Jays and fantasy owners have to be patient. These are good live arms, both of them. They're not terribly overpowering. They're just good pitchers. They both had command issues that they've improved on. They're worthy of starting rotations, and I'm glad the Blue Jays did it. They also have a couple guys in the pen that are young.
Yeah, they're keeping Miguel Castro and Roberto Ozuna, two guys who I believe are 20 years old.
Exactly.
And they're skipping AA and AAA entirely. There's actually a chance. I read a report, I think it was in Sportsnet, one of the sources that covers the Blue Jays, that Miguel Castro may end up as a closer at some point this year. Officially, it's Brett Cecil to begin the year, but he's got a shoulder issue that's been slowing him down this spring. If he scuffles at all, it might be one of the youngsters getting that chance as opposed to one of the veterans like an Aaron Loop type.
I agree with you. I have read the same thing and I've heard the same thing. And how gutsy it is for the Blue Jays to go with 5, 6, count them, rookies and young players, and they think they have a chance to win it in the East with their big bats getting a little bit older, and Encarnacion and Bautista. So, and Donaldson, you know, they have a pretty nice team. But these young guys have to come through. It's going to be tough initially. They have to get off to a good start. But I like that direction.
Moving on to the Cardinals, they have settled on a fifth starter, and it's going to be Carlos Martinez. Jaime Garcia had a setback with his shoulder over the weekend, so Garcia out of the picture indefinitely as he deals with the latest issue with his arm. Martinez gets the nod, though, over Marco Gonzalez. I think both belong in the rotation. The Cardinals have the too-many-good-pitchers problem, as we often talk about. But what is it going to take for Carlos Martinez to get that ERA down and to actually take a big step forward? Last year, he walked 36 guys in 89 and a third innings, Bernie. He had an ERA just a tick over 4, and that was splitting time, mostly spending his time as a reliever. What is it going to take for him to be a good starter?
It's going to be repetition. And, I'm not sure he's ready for this role. Gonzalez is a bullpen guy. He'll probably start in the minor leagues, but they also considered him in the as a rotation starter somewhere down the line, too. You know, he could end up in their rotation. But I think this is a pretty risky choice for the Cardinals in terms of the command issues. But Garcia has fought injury issues, and he's injured again. I don't know if we're ever going to see a guy with such a good arm come out of it and be able to pitch, you know, the way he's capable of. So I feel badly for Garcia. I'm not sure Martinez is the answer because of the command issues. But I've learned don't doubt the Cardinals.
Don't doubt the Cardinals, and don't necessarily throw away your shares of Marco Gonzalez if you got him late in your draft or your auction, because all it will take is one injured starter to open up a spot, and he could be a force himself. So no need to worry about the lack of a short-term opportunity there. There's plenty of upside should Marco Gonzalez get that opportunity. One late spring trade. We might see a couple more of these before opening day, because you have players who are out of minor league options that simply don't fit on their current roster. They'll be moved to a team that has greater need. Erasmo Ramirez was traded to the Rays in exchange for Mike Montgomery. Mike Montgomery, of course, included in the James Shields, Will Myers deal a couple of years back, and the Rays were going to use him as a reliever. I haven't seen anything that indicates the Mariners are going to push him back into a starting role, but maybe that's a possibility. But Erasmo Ramirez gives the Rays some much-needed depth, and he's shown times he's got a very good changeup, but he can be inconsistent. He struggled with the long ball each of the last two seasons in particular. Still a very young pitcher, though. Could the Rays possibly fix Erasmo Ramirez?
It's very possible. I think, again, you're talking about a young guy. I like Mike Montgomery. He's been around quite a while, so people know Montgomery. Jeff, generally a reliever-type guy. I think it's a trade of let's change the scenery and see if our guys can fix him.
Yeah, I think that could definitely be it. I mean, the Rays certainly have that track record in the past of taking pitchers, tweaking them a little bit, and getting plenty of value out of them. And given the little bit that it costs to take the chance on him, I think even if he's not in the rotation all season, which once they get healthier, he could get bumped, he may end up in a long relief role because they don't really have anybody locked into that swingman spot right now in Tampa Bay. Bernie, let's talk about the Stake League auction, which for the second year in a row, I think was among the most undisciplined leagues as far as spending goes. Yeah, it seemed like whatever I projected a player to go for, the top end especially, guys would go for $5 more, even $7 more in some cases. And it wasn't just for the first half hour or the first hour of the auction. It pretty much happened until teams didn't have more than $5 or $7 to spend on a player anymore.
Derek, I have never spent money so quickly in my life because I made up my mind I am not going to get buried this year. You know, the prices in this league were astronomical. I was done after an hour. I was twiddling my thumbs. I had no money left until the end game. Why? Because if you can't beat them, join them. I overspent for guys that I wanted. I got most of my target guys, not all of them. I think you got my Christian Yelich, if I'm not mistaken. You got a couple of my guys. But look, if you're not going to play it that way, then don't get in this league because the prices were astronomical. You're going to end up with scrubs. So I got the guys I want. I'm almost at stars and scrubs, but not quite. I like my team.
See, I've got one player that I spent $1 on. And by comparison, I mean, you spent a lot of money at the top end of the pool. I think you have at least, let's see, it looks like 11 players that were $1 players, if I'm counting correctly.
Well, that's because at the end game, I had no money.
Right. I mean, but see, we built two rosters that I think are actually pretty competitive, but I think they're just assembled in completely opposite fashions.
Exactly. And I have to say, I like the job I did on this one. I can't always say that, but I think I like the job I did on this one.
So at the top, you've got Jose Altuve at 33, which compared to a lot of the top end players, wasn't that much. I mean, I thought he'd go for a little less, but I didn't think
he's
33.
He's a $28 player.
Yes, and I think in the league this size, maybe you can get him at 29 or 30 based on the value, how much average you think he keeps from last year. But compared to some of the other prices, I didn't think that was that bad. Nolan Arenado at 28. You got Braun at 27, which Braun's capable of being a $40 player. It's within the range of outcomes. Maybe he's not that guy anymore, but it could happen. Michael Brantley at 28. And you went heavy on pitching. You got Corey Kluber at 27, Jordan Zimmermann at 29, Zach Greinke at 27, and Greg Holland at 20. It seemed like the only thing that wasn't overpriced in this auction were closers, like top to bottom.
Yep. You're absolutely right. This was weird all the way around. And if I'm going to get my guys, I'm going to pay. I had to have Michael Brantley out of this. I had to walk away with Michael Brantley, and I did. And yes, I paid a dear price. But then I also got a Dustin Ackley very cheaply, and he's not bad. Matt Joyce very cheaply. J.D. Martinez is on my team. Yonder Alonso for virtually nothing. Devon Travis, who I said I loved. Chris Owings, they didn't cost me much money. So I like my club. I know you wanted to trade your entire team. Somebody was going to do it, right?
Yeah. I think there was one interested party at one point. The only reason I was frustrated is because I didn't get those top-end players. My most expensive player was Adrian Gonzalez. He was $26. He's not exciting. He's not going to become a 30 or 35 home run player at this stage of his career. He's probably a 270 hitter with 22 to 25 home runs and a boatload of runs driven in, but he's pretty steady. He rarely takes days off.
That's right.
It's just that's kind of the way my team was built, because so many teams went more stars and scrubs. I mean, you definitely had that high-end player, low-end player mix. That was more common. I would say of the 16 teams in the league, 13 or 14 of them went more with what seemed like a stars and scrubs approach, and it was intentional. I mean, it seemed like anybody who was in the bottom half of the league last year especially was so upset about it, they said, absolutely not. This is not happening again. I'm going to get the guys I want. Right.
And Derek, you know what happened to you? This was amazing to me. It was the last buck. You would not spend the last buck. I counted about 9 times where you dropped out at the last dollar. Am I right about that?
Oh,
I watched you carefully.
I was bidding on everybody. I was trying to just get it. I didn't even care which top end players I had. As long as I could get them at or below my projected cost, I was fine with that. It just didn't work. It just didn't happen. I got to the point every time where it would go a buck or two over, and
the last buck that got you.
I would just back away. So, I mean,
you got my Cole Calhoun. I know you got him.
Yeah, and everybody knows I was not targeting Cole Calhoun, but.
And I was.
But he was a $20 player who I got for 18. So I felt like that's just one of the areas where there was value. I mean, Machado at 16, he's got the breakout potential. Chris Davis, Orioles Chris Davis, that is, at 21, right around the price. I think I had him at 22, so it was within range there. But everybody was in like a buck or two of what I was willing to pay. So it wasn't as though I walked away from most of these players and said, wow, I get this guy $5 under value. Sometimes that happens in an auction, and you know it right away. You know the room kind of froze up. I have a couple guys I got late, but everybody started to get players near the end that should have cost more because so much extra money was spent early. So when you have those auctions that have a bunch of aggressive owners, there will be bargains in the end game. And some of your $1 players, I think, fit that description. Shin-Soo Chu at $9, for example. I think Oswaldo Arcia at 7 was cheap. Martin Prado at 3. I mean, those players are going to help me, but when those are my best values, I do get a little concerned about the quality of my roster. What I really like, though, is that I've got 3 closers in a 16-team league. I shouldn't have to chase saves. I've got Chapman, I've got Melanson, I've got Papelbon. I've also got Ken Giles, too. So if Papelbon gets traded, I might have 4 closers, depending on where Papelbon ends up.
Yeah, I think you did a good job with the closers, and they literally were reasonable, but I didn't have any money left to go get them after I spent my money on Holland. But that's what happens. You know, you have decisions to make in an auction. You don't have a lot of time to make them, and the things move very quickly. Many, many times I was shut out at the buzzer, and I hated that. You know, I just wasn't quick enough.
I noticed you targeted Kevin Quackenbush in the reserve rounds. Are you on the side that believes that between now and the end of the season, he's going to take that job away from Joaquin Benoit?
I don't see why not. I think he will. I've always liked him. I've pretty much targeted him everywhere I've gone. So, yeah, I got him, and I'm happy about it.
Yeah, I mean, overall, do you like the roster, though?
Yeah, this is one of my best. I like these guys because I like I don't know if I'm going to win anything, but I like my team. And when you like your team, it makes it a whole lot more fun because I've got teams this year I do not like. You know, and I got Kendrys Morales early in that draft and that auction for, I think, $2.
Yeah, I think everybody just froze on him. They weren't really sure what they wanted to pay. And for me, I didn't want to lock him in, but $2 could be a great price. You're trying to make a trade with me in our AL-only league in grass ball for him, and I keep going back and forth on it because, to me, he looks like he's back to being Kendrys Morales, where he's going through a regular spring training. He lost some weight. He before last year, he could hit. I mean, he's a good hitter. He's not this low-average, chunky guy that can only hit home runs. He's actually a pretty good hitter, and I think last year was an aberration. So I'm definitely hesitant to trade him to you in that AL only league.
He's an unknown. He can go either way. He can bust or he could boom. And the offer, just so people know, I have offered Derek Lindor for Morales, which I think is a very fair deal. 2 years of control left for both players, and Francisco Lindor will be the Indian shortstop. If it isn't by the end of this year, it's next year. So he can get him from me now at a cost of $7. If he goes to the auction, it's much more than $7. So I think it's a fair trade, and I think I'm just waiting for Derek to say yes, and then we can move on with our lives. I also offered you, if you don't want Lindor, I offered you Colome or McAllister.
Yeah, those guys aren't for me, but Lindor very well may be. This league's different, though. This league doesn't use the same 5x5 scoring settings that most of the leagues I play in use, and I think that's where I'm really thinking more about this trade than I would if we were in a typical rotisserie league. If this were like the staff keeper league, for example, I think I would have already hit accept on that trade.
Well, I don't know. I just think it's good for both of us. Let's see what happens. I'll wait for you, whatever you want to do. I did make a trade today, though, Derek. I traded Trevor Bauer away out of my team for Rick Porcello, and I did it for this reason. I don't think Trevor Bauer is going to get quality starts. And in our league, in the grass ball league, quality starts are important. And I think Terry Francona gives the hook to his guys at 5 1/3, 5 2/3, and it killed me last year to see him come out with the hook when I'm close to, I may have gotten the win, but that extra point for a quality start went by the wayside, and I just don't want to put up with that anymore. So I traded Trevor Bauer, who I think is going to break out. He had a great game this week. He is throwing strikes, but I like Rick Porcello's upside in Boston. What do you think about that deal, DVR?
I think with Porcello, you're getting a guy going into the final year of his contract. He's much further along as far as development goes than Bauer. And Bauer is going to be feast or famine. I mean, I could see Bauer giving you a 4 ERA in the first half, but barely keeping his job. Then suddenly after the All-Star break, heating up and maybe being a mid-2s ERA guy who strikes out a batter per inning. I think he has that upside, but it just comes with some short-term risks. So I think he did a good job of mitigating that and sort of like as fun as Bauer could be to own, you don't have to worry about it every time he pitches, which I think he's a stressful player to own until we see him go out there more consistently and give us quality starts.
I think Porcello turned the corner last year for me. I like what I see of him. I like the fact that he's on a better ball club this year than Boston was last year. Not a better club than Detroit, but a better club this year, Boston, than last year, Boston. And, you know, I think he's got a chance to do pretty well. So that deal's done. Derek, let's talk about that question you posed about who do you take, who's overrated, who's underrated.
All right, we will get to that in just a second. Hey, baseball fans, are you tired of losing on those other daily fantasy sites? Download Side League for iOS and Android and start winning. Side League levels the playing field by offering 25-person contests with no salary cap. By automatically pairing you with friends, Side League ensures you don't end up competing in huge contests full of sharks. You've never had a better chance to win. Go to sideleague.com now and download SideLeague for Android or iPhone. Use the promo code SHORT1 for a free $5 deposit. We are going to talk about all 30 teams. At least we're going to talk about players on all 30 teams. We're going to start in the NL East, taking a look at a guy on each roster who is over and underrated right now. We'll start with my favorite in the National League East, the Washington Nationals. Bernie, who are you seeking out as underrated, and who do you think is overrated going into the season?
Okay, I have to look at my list, and they're on page two, so I wasn't anticipating the Nationals first, so let me look at that. Why don't you start, and then I'll pick it up.
Sure. For me, underrated for this year is actually Gio Gonzalez. I think the price where he's at right now is better than ever. I know you got to take a lot of Tums when you watch him pitch, but I think the shoulder issue he had last year has pretty much gone away at this point. I think he could actually surprise and be a top 20 starting pitcher this year, but he's not being treated like one in drafts, so there's definitely some room for profit there. Overvalued on the Nationals, I'm torn because I want Bryce Harper to break through, but people are still paying for a level of production that he has not provided. I think he's the guy who's overvalued going into the season. I like him, but I only have him in one place, and it was an auction rather than a snake draft.
I don't disagree with that choice of Harper, even though I love him. But I chose Jason Worth, and I have to say this: I did not look at auction or draft values. I looked at overrated players, underrated players. A little bit different than you did because you looked at their values in fantasy. But I'm just going to say, I think that Jason Worth is overrated. My underrated guy is Doug Fister. He doesn't get enough love. And for me, Doug Fister is a darn good pitcher. He may be a 5 on Washington, but he's a 2 on a lot of clubs. And a lot of clubs would love to have him. So I have Fister as my underrated guy.
He certainly benefited, I think, from getting a better infield defense behind him last year in Washington, even if that strikeout rate doesn't come up. I think you're right, kind of an unsung hero of sorts on a Washington team that's very strong in the rotation. Let's stay in the NL East. Let's take a look at the Miami Marlins. Overrated and underrated here. I would say Matt Latos is overrated, but his price...
That's my guy right there. You just hit it.
His price is down, so I think in the fantasy sense, I don't look at him as necessarily overrated, but he's too risky for me. Knee issues, arm issues. I'm letting somebody else have Matt Latos.
Yeah, I agree with you. I put him down as my overrated guy. My underrated guy is Marcelo Zuna. You know, I just think he could be... He's not Christian Yelich for me. But I think Marcelo Zuna could be really, really good in fantasy and in true baseball games. This is a guy you don't talk about. This is a guy you don't hear buzz about. He's my underrated guy.
I actually agree with you on the underrated side, too. I think with Ozuna, I mean, last year he hit .269, which in today's environment is very good for batting average, or at least good. 23 home runs as a 23-year-old. Had some injuries in 2013 that cost him some time. Didn't really show a lot of power in the limited time he's in the big leagues, but I think he's a pretty steady threat to hit mid-20s in the home runs. But as he continues to develop and become a better big league hitter, I think there's a 30 or 35 home run season in that bat. Maybe not this year, but long term, it is surprising people don't get more excited about Ozuna.
Yeah, I think they will. Let's move on to the Mets.
Yes, the Mets, which is always fun. I mean, I thought Matt Harvey was going to be a bargain. He's not. He went 16th overall in my NFBC draft on Saturday, so no room for profit there. But I think Jake DeGrom actually is still underrated after his breakout season last year. He wasn't cheap in our stake league this week, but I think what he could bring to the table this year is really the performance of a true number two pitcher.
And my underrated guy is Lucas Duda. Look, I never hear anybody talking about this guy's power. 30-some home runs, lousy batting average, but in that ballpark to hit over 30, and that's what he did, Lucas Duda's still underrated for me.
I think for the overrated pitcher, I'm going to sign up on Matt Harvey on this one. I didn't think it would happen, but just because he's pitched so well this spring, the price has become cost prohibitive on him. You're going to get some sort of limited innings mark. I realize a lot of pitchers are going to come short of 200 innings anyway because they're going to get dinged up along the way. But I can't take Matt Harvey as a top 20 overall player. I just can't do it right now. Next year, absolutely. I think he's going to be deserving of that. But this year, I think there's still a little bit too much risk for him coming off Tommy John, even though he's like 17 months now removed from surgery.
Well, my guy is a guy you took off the board early, and I was surprised at that, and that's Travis d'Arnaud. I'm not on the bandwagon.
Oh, I like d'Arnaud. I think he's still going to be good. He's had a lot of injuries, though. That's the concern I have.
That's the issue. You paid for him, though. I think you took the first catcher.
I had Yadier Molina and Carlos Ruiz, but I've had him in other leagues. I do like d'Arnaud.
I saw you somewhere.
I was bidding on him.
Oh, okay.
I was definitely in on the bidding. Let's move on to the Braves. Overrated for me this year, from a fantasy standpoint, it's Freddie Freeman. He's not. Who's he going to drive in? It's not his fault, but there will be nobody on base for Freddie Freeman to drive in.
I agree with you there. He's my overrated guy, and I feel badly for him. I mean, this guy is going to chase bad pitches. I can see it coming. I don't know. I wouldn't pay for him. My underrated guy there is Ben Revere, because the guy still is going to give you a lot of stolen bases. His batting average is acceptable. I like Ben Revere.
I've got Alex Wood as my underrated Brave. But looking at the Phillies, I think Ben Revere is kind of an unsung hero of sorts from a fantasy standpoint, because his batting average is better than you realize. A lot of times you have speedsters that can get you 40 or 50 bags, and they hit like 275, 280. But Revere is a threat to actually hit 300. I think that's actually a part of his skill set.
I'm sorry, did I skip? I skipped the Braves, right?
Yeah, who was your underrated Brave?
My overrated guy was Chris Johnson. My underrated guy was Julio Teheran.
Nice. Teheran, I think, could actually still get better, too. That's part of the appeal there. And he kind of falls after the first 15 or so pitchers in many, many drafts. But I think Ben Revere is a good choice for the underrated Philly side. Overrated? I mean, take your pick. Like, this is, I don't even know if anyone's actually overrated on this team, because nobody seems to get valued that much at all. Cole Hamels is fairly priced. Ken Giles is underrated. Papelbon, as long as he has the job, is better than people realize. I always feel like I get him at a discount. Maybe Chase Utley's a little overrated now because the team context is bad, but he can still play. If they were to trade him to a contender, I'd like Chase Utley enough.
Yeah, I think Chase Utley is going to end up on a contender. I really do. I think he may, you know where I think he may end up? On the Angels.
They definitely need a second baseman. Like, we've talked about that before, but that is a glaring issue for them. But who on this team is overrated, Bernie?
For me, it was Papelbon, because who knows what's going to happen with him. I'm sorry, I don't see too many Phillies. I really blasted them today in my National League predictions, which is up at Bernie's Baseball World right now, and I have them losing a whole lot of games.
Yeah, I think they may win 65, maybe. That might be a reasonable expectation for them at this point, but we're going to move on to the National League Central. We'll start with Milwaukee, and underrated for me in this setting right now, I think it's Scooter Gennett. I mean, I think Adam Lind probably gets a vote here too, but this offense could be one that plates a ton of runs this year. Scooter Gennett's not going to lead off to begin the year, but I think if things get shuffled up, that could be an opportunity for him, at least against right-handed pitching. But Adam Lind is also valuable because he's going to be right in the heart of that Milwaukee order. And he'll probably end up getting strict platoon. They'll probably sit him against lefties, so he'll lose some playing time, but really not that much. Fewer lefties in the game right now than we've seen in quite some time.
My underrated guy for the Brewers is still Chris Davis. I don't think he gets enough love from the baseball world in general. He may go highly priced in fantasy, but you never hear about him when you hear about great players in baseball. My overrated guy is Matt Garza. I think he's a disaster waiting to happen.
It could be. I've got him a couple places. Didn't have to pay much to get him, but I think there is more of a potential for him to become a streaming option as opposed to a starter you just throw out there every single time out.
Yep, I agree with you totally.
For me, overrated Brewers right now, it's maybe Jonathan Lucroy to an extent, but his hamstring injury lowered his price in fantasy. I think Mike Fiers is dangerous.
Yeah, that's a good one.
He's the guy that... It seems like people who haven't seen him pitch look at his numbers and they really think that there's something there as far as like a frontline type starter, and that's not what he is at all to me. I see considerable risk. I have him nowhere to this point, and that's as someone who saw the numbers and saw what he did down the stretch. 71 Ks in his last 64 and two-thirds innings. He had a 209 ERA in his last 10 starts, Bernie, with an 084 whip. I mean, those are video game numbers from Mike Fiers.
Keep it up. But you know what? The Brewers pitching scares the hell out of me. I mean, I love their offense. I think they're going to be right in it, except for their pitching. That's a very scary pitching staff.
I hope they find a way to make a trade for Cole Hamels or something along those lines. They need that frontline guy to bolster their depth. Moving on to the Cardinals, overrated. We'll start there. Colton Wong right now is just way too expensive. He might hit in the bottom third of the order. I don't think there's going to be much more in terms of home run power coming from him. And I've seen people pay just insane prices for Colton Wong. I think what we saw last year, 12 homers and 20 steals in particular, even though that was only 433 plate appearances, I think that's kind of a reasonable expectation in those two categories. Runs scored might be down a little bit if he stays down in the order. I think the only thing he might improve is the batting average. I don't think he's a 249 hitter. I think he's more of like a 275 hitter. But I'm not paying a top 75 or a top 80 pick to get him.
Yeah, I have to laugh because I remember panning Colton Wong when I saw him in the fall league. I was not on him at all. I thought this guy will never make it. And look at the year he had. And I think it's just going to continue. I actually, Derek, had him as my underrated guy because I didn't know the price he's going for because I don't have him anywhere. I really like this guy. My overrated guy is Jason Hayward. You know, they expect him to come in and hit home runs, and I don't see it happening. I just don't see anywhere close to what this guy used to be. He's a good defender, but I think he's a caretaker there in right field, and he's gone after this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think with Hayward, if they've tweaked his swing, I could see more power, but he's been around long enough now where I just think it would have happened again by now if he was going to sustain 20-plus home run power. I think he can get on base at a good clip. I think he can steal bases. I think he's a fantastic defender. I think he's an Alex Gordon-type player where we have higher expectations than that. And even if he's just Alex Gordon, that's really good. Alex Gordon's a good player.
I don't think he's Alex Gordon.
Really? Interesting.
No, I don't.
One guy that I do like on the Cardinals is underrated. They have a handful of them, but Michael Wacha, I like the price on him so far this spring. I've got a few shares. I think he's going to emerge to be their actual ace. I would not be surprised if Michael Wacha has better numbers than Adam Wainwright this year.
Oh, whoa. That's saying something. Wainwright's healthy again. He's pitching again. And I'm on him, no doubt. I'm on Wainwright.
I think the big difference for me, though, is that Wacha could pitch fewer innings and still get the same number of strikeouts because Wainwright's strikeout rate is down, and I don't think that's coming back. I think Wacha, that's where he can really make up the gap in value. But really curious to see how Waka's arm holds up over the course of this season.
This is important. I think they're going to the pen quicker with Wacha than they are with Wainwright, and I think he's going to lose some wins because of it.
I think they might. I mean, they may have times, though, with Wainwright, too, where depending on how many high-stress innings he's throwing, he may find himself getting yanked a bit earlier than he has in the past. Let's talk about the Pirates. Underrated on the Pirates, to me, it's Neil Walker. Every draft I'm in all the time, why don't people like him more?
I don't know. I would take him anywhere. This guy can really hit, and he's got power, and he can play. Neil Walker is my underrated guy, no doubt about it.
My overrated Pirate, though, Josh Harrison. I feel like the jury is all over the place on him. So I don't even know if it's fair to call him overrated. I think there's half the community that says, "Well, you know what? He's a 1 year wonder." But the other half says, "No, he's real. You guys are dumb." And I think the answer is somewhere in the middle. I think the power he showed last year is something I don't expect to repeat. So I don't want to make him my overrated Pirate. I feel like Starling Marte has been priced up a little more than he should be. And here's the reason why. I don't think he's a bad player. I think he's actually a good player. I think he's a good fantasy player, too. But he's got a 356 OBP last year and a 343 OBP in 2013. But he really doesn't draw many walks. His walk rate last year was just 6.1%. So where does that OBP come from? It comes from him getting hit by pitches. And if getting hit by pitches can be a skill if you crowd the plate and put yourself in a position to get hit a lot, which is great until you get hit in the thumb or the back of the hand or the wrist or the head and you miss time. Like that to me, that is a major concern, is that he doesn't actually have like real OBP baked into his skill set with the walk rate. I think that's a major red flag for me right now with Starling Marte as far as treating him as like a top 40 overall player.
I'm a huge Marte fan. I think he's going to get better and better, and I think he is going to be a key to their success. And my overrated guy is going to hurt them badly, and that's AJ Burnett. I don't know what he's going for, but I think he's done. I think he's going to have a rough year on the mound, and I think it's going to hurt the Pirates. I just have this hunch about him after watching him on TV this spring. I didn't get to see him in person. I just don't know what you expect from AJ Burnett, but I don't expect much at all.
Let's take a look here at the Cubs, Bernie. I think you can make a long list of players who are underrated right now on this team from a fantasy standpoint. Relative cost, yeah. I mean, John Lester, for what he could do, I think is somewhat cheap. Jake Arrieta has a lot of people who still don't believe. Jason Hamill, so many people are looking at what happened after he went to Oakland. He's buried. You can get him at the end of a draft or an auction. I think going back to Chicago, working with Chris Bosio again, he's going to get back on track and look a lot more like the guy we saw in the first half. Their closer, Hector Rondon, underrated for how well he pitched last year. I don't see Jason Mott pushing him early in the year. I think Rondon has to flop. But I think the most undervalued player of all, perhaps, right now from the Cubs is still Jorge Soler, believe it or not.
I agree there, too.
Tons of raw power.
I agree on a lot of this guy. This guy, he could be Vlad Guerrero. You know that? He really could.
Which is just, I don't know how on this team he doesn't get more attention. I mean.
Well, you know why. Because Chris Bryant's there. And, of course, you know, and he, look, you've got a first baseman there who doesn't get any attention either. So when you've got guys like that, and you're putting them up against ink for Chris Bryant, they're going to lose every time. And Soler is very underrated.
I think at least the difference, though, in the fantasy circles is that Anthony Rizzo I've seen go early first round, mid first round, like top 10 in many drafts. Jorge Soler barely cracks the top 100 overall. And I think this time next year, I mean, would you be surprised at all if we were talking about Jorge Soler as a late first round or early second round pick this time next year?
Not at all. The first time I saw this guy, I just said, wow, you know, he is probably equal to any Cub guy that we talk about more. Like I said, that's Chris Bryant, that's Addison Russell that gets a lot of play. But Soler is the guy that can really hit, and he's got to want to play. If he wants to play, he's going to be great. My overrated guy is Starlin Castro. I still think he... You know, people still like him. I don't know how long the Cubs are going to put up with it. He really doesn't put out every play. I've seen him loaf a little. I hope that changes with a new manager. I don't think Madden will put up with it. But Castro, to me, hasn't met my expectations.
He just looks checked out way too often. I mean, it shouldn't happen more than once occasionally. And it's a recurring problem for Castro. I'm not really on him this year either, and I think at least in the fantasy context, the price came down to the point where he wasn't overhyped too much, but I think in a real-life context, we're going to see the Cubs move him, maybe not this season, but I think by this time next year, he will not be on their roster. He will be playing for someone else.
I think you could be very, very right.
Taking a look here at the Reds, Bernie. Overrated, underrated on the Reds. I had a hard time with this one. You know,
yeah, this was easy.
Who's overrated and underrated on the Reds?
Billy Hamilton.
Overrated?
Yeah, very overrated. Look, the guy got thrown out way too often. If his game is stealing bases, then he really has to improve his technique. And he's got to get on base. I think he can do that, but can he steal bases? And until he does it more successfully, I think we're paying too much for him.
His price fluctuates so much that I can't even like put a steady label on it. I see where that line of thought comes from for sure. I guess I look at Marlon Byrd as the underrated Red right now. Everyone's afraid of him because he's old and he had a power spike late in his career. But if you need cheap power late, I think he's going to provide that. I think he's going to hit near the middle of the order. I would call Brandon Phillips overrated, but who actually thinks he's good anymore other than Brandon Phillips himself?
Yeah, I'm thinking Devin Mesoraco is my underrated guy. I don't think he gets enough love for the type of hitter he is. And if he can get healthy and stay healthy, I think he's going to have a terrific year.
Move on to the NL West, starting with the Dodgers. Underrated for the Dodgers. Who is it?
Is there anybody underrated on the Dodgers? I don't know.
Maybe Jock Peterson. I feel like it's sort of like the Soler thing, but Soler at least showed us down the stretch last year he can hit in the big leagues. With Peterson, it's more of a question mark. But, you know, 135, 150 overall for a player that went, 30-30 last year at AAA? Like, that's probably a fair price, if not even a little cheaper than it should be.
I've got a guy here that I think is, you know, I've heard about Chris Hatcher as potentially closing. Have you ever heard that buzz?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's been good for a couple of years in Miami. They sought him out as part of that swap, and I don't think here's my line of thought on how Joel Peralta won't close. Andrew Friedman was in Tampa Bay, and they needed a closer on multiple occasions, and Joel Peralta was there the whole time, and Friedman and Madden didn't make Peralta the closer. So why would Friedman and Mattingly make Joel Peralta a closer while Kenley Jansen's hurt?
That's why I think Chris Hatcher might be underrated. And I picked him up in one of our leagues just because I want to take a flyer on it. If I'm wrong, I dump him.
Yeah, I don't think that's a bad idea at all. I wouldn't be surprised if he got some saves in April, maybe even the early part of May, depending on how Kenley Jansen recovers from that foot injury. Overrated for me, I mean, where do you want to go with this one? There's lots of different roads.
Yasmani Grandal.
Yeah, Grandal got a little bit trendy this spring. I'll jump in on that. I mean, I think with Grandal, when has he actually stayed healthy and hit? He showed some power last year, but the batting average wasn't there. Is he a good defensive catcher? I think there's some questions maybe about that too. I think people just like him because Andrew Friedman traded for him.
Yeah, I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid yet.
I think that's perfectly acceptable on Yasmani Grandal. Let's take a look here at the Padres. Lots of options to choose from here. Underrated for me, probably Ian Kennedy, just based on what he did last year. Seems like he's still pretty cheap, and maybe there's a little more room for growth because the fastball velocity went up last year. Seems like you can get him pretty affordably compared to even like Tyson Ross. And their numbers, especially if you're using them only in their home starts or home starts plus weak road starts, their numbers may not actually be that different. I think there's this idea that Tyson Ross is a lot safer than Ian Kennedy, but I don't necessarily see it.
Well, Ian Kennedy is a fly ball pitcher. That's what got him out of Chase Field, and he's at a great park for that. I mean, he'll pitch very well. You have to be very careful about pitching him at Chase Field and in Colorado. But, you know, in Los Angeles and in San Diego, I think he'll be fine. And I like him. My overrated guy is Will Myers. I still think he's not as good as his press clippings, and people are loving his spring. I take a wait-and-see attitude on Will Myers.
I actually like Joaquin Benoit as an underrated guy right now. I think there is a good chance he will hold the job for most of the year as long as he can stay healthy. His ratios are pretty much elite. Strikeout rate might not be completely dominant, but it's good enough. I think he's probably a top 15 closer, maybe even a top 10 closer, if he can keep the job all season.
I cannot watch him pitch. I mean, he's another one that makes me nuts, but he may keep the job. My underrated guy is Will Middlebrooks, who I think had a fabulous spring, and I think he's going to have a fabulous year. And I don't know what he's going for, but Will Middlebrooks is a guy for me.
Staying in the West, moving on to the Giants. Brandon Belt, underrated, has to hit more this year for the Giants to be successful, but I think he's going to do it. He's had a lot of injury issues that have slowed him down, but going in that range, 125, 150, where if you wait on a first baseman, he might be there. I think he can get you average, at least a 270, 275 type average. I think 20-plus home runs will be there, and maybe even like 90-plus RBIs from Brandon Belt.
Yeah, I can see that. My underrated guy is Brandon Crawford. I think the guy figures it out this year. I think his bat's going to come to life. He's a terrific defender. I think Crawford's going to have a better year than a lot of people think, and I think he's underrated. My overrated guy is Buster Posey. I just don't get it.
I like Buster Posey, but I rarely get him in my leagues. I think he's overrated from a fantasy standpoint. And if you look at the rest of this team, very few players even get hyped up right now on the Giants. Offensively, they're so depleted with Hunter Pence down. Pence always seems underrated, so he wouldn't really fit that description. So I think by default, Posey kind of fits as their overrated player just because nobody else gets rated all that highly, short of maybe Madison Bumgarner at this point. Now, I think you can make a case that coming off the heavy workload that he had, he carries more risk this year than he typically would, but I think as long as he's healthy, you're pretty confident he can still be a top 10 starting pitcher with relative ease.
Yeah, getting back to Posey, I think he's exciting for a lot of guys because he'll have first base eligibility as well as catcher. So you're getting a little bit more for your money there, but I still think he's overrated. Let's look at the Rockies.
Yeah, the Rockies, this one, it's like you can't even talk about their pitching because no one believes in their pitching, and you don't want to look at their pitching and say, oh, this guy's underrated. So short of looking at a reliever as underrated, I think you got to stay pretty much entirely with the position players. I actually think Charlie Blackmon has stayed affordably priced, but to me, Justin Morneau is the most underrated of the Rockies hitters right now.
I love Justin Morneau, but he's not my underrated guy. My guy is Corey Dickerson, followed quickly by DJ LeMahieu, who I love. Those are guys who are gamers. They're going to come out and do the job day in and day out. They're lunch bucket guys. They are typical Rockies hitters, and I hope they do better on the road. My overrated guy is Carlos Gonzalez. I think Cargo had – this is the year that these guys have to stay healthy. I worry about him much more because it already started with the talk about his knees, et cetera. I worry about him more than I do Tulo.
Yeah, I think with Cargo, you have this worry that he's like another Grady Sizemore type where the injuries are piling up at a rate where all of his athleticism is going to be gone, and if he has one more major injury, it's going to be a pretty significant thing in terms of knocking him out for even longer than the ailments he's dealt with to this point. As far as an overrated Rocky goes, I hate to do it, but William Rosario, people are still drafting him as though he's going to play a lot.
He's not.
They're going to use him as a platoon first baseman. That's what he's going to do. The way he gets more value is basically a Justin Morneau injury. Other than that, or a trade, I just don't see how he gets more than 250 or 300 at-bats this year.
By his admission, his footwork is not there yet for first base. He has got to be a DH in the American League, and he'd be a great one. And they finally gave up on the fact that he can't be a catcher. He kind of has the Montero tag for the Mariners, you know?
Yeah, he's becoming the new Jesus Montero.
Yeah, he is.
Not a good thing, but at least Willian Rosario has hit in the big leagues, something we have not seen. Have not seen that at all from Jesus Montero. All right, so you see the Diamondbacks all the time. Underrated and overrated on the Diamondbacks. Who do you have?
Oh, I forgot about my Diamondbacks or their Diamondbacks. My overrated guy is Addison Reed. No matter if you pay a dollar for him or $20 for him, he's going to break your heart. You're going to get a great save and then two bummers or two great saves and a bummer. It's just the inconsistency that drives me nuts. My underrated guy is David Peralta, followed quickly by Chris Owings. They have a lot of underrated guys, but David Peralta is a terrific hitter, and he can't even get in the lineup on a team that's going to lose a ton of games.
I like Jake Lamb as an underrated player. I think Mark Trumbo is a little overrated from a fantasy standpoint. It's almost like the foot injury didn't even happen last year. There's no discount on him. There should be a discount on Mark Trumbo.
Almost hit the batter's eye yesterday.
So the power's still there.
Yeah.
But is anything any different about his approach, or is he still going to be a 230 hitter?
I think he's not swinging for the fences with every stroke. I saw him take the ball to right field, which I never saw him do before. I saw him take the ball to center field. I'm high on Trumbo this year. He's going to have a great year, I think.
Raw power absolutely may be there. I just don't feel like you're getting any sort of discount for a guy that missed so much time last year with that foot injury. Let's move over to the American League. This episode's going to run a bit long just because there's a lot of ground to cover, but works for me. Talking about the Yankees, this is a team that always has a lot of players you can look at and kind of drop into either one of these buckets. I think Chase Headley is underrated. Played hurt for most of last year. You give him 145 or 150 games in that lineup, and half of those games coming at Yankee Stadium. I think we're going to see a little more power from Chase Headley again this year. Not the 30-plus home runs that we saw once a few seasons ago back in 2012, but 18 home runs maybe from Chase Headley, double-digit steals, a decent batting average, plenty of runs scored, plenty of runs driven in. Sign me up.
And my underrated guy is Michael Pineda. If his shoulder holds, this guy is filthy. He's got great stuff. I just hope that he stays healthy, because if he does, I want him everywhere I can get him, and I just think he's going to have a terrific year. My overrated guy, the guy who killed me last year, better not do it again this year, that's Brian McCann.
I see where you're coming from on McCann, because I know you and I both liked him a lot last year, but Dellin Betances is overrated for me right now. Some people are treating him like a top five, top six closer. I was earlier this spring, before the velocity was down, before he's been getting hit around recently. He's given up runs in each of his last five appearances, fastball topping out at 94 miles per hour. He was hitting triple digits last year, Bernie. What happened to Dellin Betances?
I don't know. It's a good question. I think he's going to come back. I still have faith in him. It's a good question, though. You're right.
I'm not paying the premium for Dellin Betances now.
And we don't even know that he's going to close.
That's the other added wrinkle. Manager Joe Girardi hasn't even made a call on that yet. I see so much potential risk for the price he's going at right now, and I wanted to like him. I wanted to be all over Dellin Betances this year, and it's not going to happen. Let's look at the Red Sox. Underrated for me, I think somehow, and this seems impossible, it's Mookie Betts. But I feel like you can get value not only on Betts, but you can get value on Mike Napoli. You can get value on Pablo Sandoval. You can even get some value on Dustin Pedroia this year.
My underrated guy is Mike Napoli. I'm glad I've got him. He's a dangerous hitter. And I think Betts is a little bit underrated too, because don't forget, there was a question in early drafts, Derek, whether he was going to play or not. And Victorino was going to be in right field, and Betts is going to be maybe, where's he going to play? Well, Betts is going to play in center field now, and he's going to play until he plays himself out. So he could be underrated. My overrated guy is still Dustin Pedroia. I don't know who the real guy is anymore, and I'm not paying the price.
He's going back to being Laser Show again this year. I think that's the guy he's going to be. Koji Uehara got priced up too much for me. I don't have him anywhere. The hamstring injury has been a problem. I want to like him. I just don't anymore. I can't treat him like a top 10 closer, because I don't think you're going to get more than about 20 to 22 saves if he gets back from this hamstring injury and actually stays healthy all year. And given his age, I think that's less likely than ever.
I agree, but I've got to keep him. I mean, closers are hard to come by in an AL-only league, and I've got to keep him. And it's a mess. It really is. I don't like his age. I don't like the hamstrings. And I didn't like the second part of last year. But I'm keeping him.
Let's talk Tampa Bay Rays. For me, underrated. Two guys immediately came to mind, Steven Souza and John Jaso. Jaso, I think, is underrated because he's going to DH and hit near the top of the order. So you take away the injury risk that would be associated with catching, but he still has catcher eligibility in fantasy leagues. He doesn't have a very high ceiling, so you're looking at him in leagues where you have to use two catchers. But Steven Souza, I think, is the type of player that you could end up being pretty happy with in almost any format if he can produce anywhere near the levels we saw from him at AAA last year.
You know, I've changed my mind on Souza. I think he's going to scuffle a bit. I hate to say that because I'm a big fan of his. I just think he's going to get off to a tough start. But I still think I want him wherever I can get him. My underrated guy is going to hit 285 just as sure as the sun comes up, and that's James Loney. I always get him inexpensively in drafts. He counters my low batting averages. That's all he does. You know, he hits for average. He's not going to hit home runs. He's going to hit a couple doubles. He's going to drive in some runs. But he's going to hit 285 for me, and I like that.
I'm looking at this team and having a hard time finding an overrated player because they don't have that many early targets in fantasy. I mean, they just don't. Like
Desmond Jennings,
I think he's an overrated player, but I do think the fantasy market has finally corrected on that, if that makes sense. Like he has been overrated for years, and this is the first year where he's priced appropriately.
Yeah, and again, I'm looking at overrated guys and not overrated fantasy guys. So for me, he's still an overrated guy.
Yeah, that's a fair statement. Now let's move on to the Orioles. Another strange team. It just in that I look at them and, I mean, underrated. I think you can go in a couple of different directions. Your guy, Chris Tillman, I feel like is going to show up on your list. Did you have somebody else underrated for the Orioles?
Yeah, I do. I have Steve Pierce.
Okay,
nobody talks about Steve Pierce. There
is some hesitation for people to buy into what he did last year, but he should have a pretty clear path to at-bats again.
Yeah, he really will get a lot of at-bats, and in that park, he's a winner. My overrated guy is a guy you love, and I'm still, my jury is still out, and that's Chris Davis. Who is he? Is he the Texas Chris Davis? Is he the Orioles Chris Davis? Or is he the Orioles Chris Davis?
I think he's the 2012-2013 version, something in that range. I'm happy to have him in the stake league, so hopefully I am right. I don't think he's underrated. I think he's priced very fairly right now. I think Travis Snyder's the most underrated guy right now in the Orioles. The park change from Pittsburgh to Baltimore is a big one.
Yeah, that's a nice change.
And he had a better year last year than people realize. Overrated for me is Zach Britton. I know the ground ball rate was outstanding. He can throw hard from the left side. I don't trust him. I think he could go the exact same way of Jim Johnson without any real warning.
Do left-handed closers bother you?
No, I don't care what hand they throw with.
Okay, just because they're going to face a lot of right-handed hitters, I just wonder, you know? I've heard debate about it. You see more right-handed closers than you do lefties. But that's a topic for another day. Let's move on to Toronto.
A lot of choices also in the Blue Jays roster in terms of the over and underrated. I think for me, overrated in Toronto right now probably has to be a hitter. Maybe it's Russell Martin. I love that he's going to get a chance to hit second, but why is he going to be the guy that hits anywhere close to the 290 hit last year as opposed to, I don't know, the 226 from 2013 or the 211 in 2012 or the 237 the year before that? And some of those seasons came with the Yankees, which that's a good place to hit. So I think Russell Martin as a real player is extremely valuable to the Jays. He's going to handle the staff well, but as a hitter, I have a lot of doubts about him repeating what he did last year.
He's my overrated guy, too. I think there's huge regression coming in him at the plate. I know I like the ballpark he's sitting in, but he's not a 290 hitter. My underrated guy is Devon Travis, who we talked about before. Nobody's talking about
him. I've got Drew Hutchison as my underrated guy. I think he pitched very well in the second half. Power arm, missed some time into Tommy John surgery a couple seasons back, but could take a big step forward this year, and I think the Jays are obviously counting on it, as we suggested earlier. Moving on to the Central, let's talk White Sox, Bernie. Who is underrated right now on this White Sox roster?
Adam Eaton. I think Adam Eaton is a much better ball player, a 4-5 tool guy. Maybe the power isn't there, but he'll surprise some people, especially in that ballpark. I have Eaton as my underrated guy, and Jeff Samardzija as my overrated guy.
Oh, I'm sad. I love Samardzija. I think what he did last year is real. I've got Melky Cabrera as my underrated player. I don't know why people don't want more shares of him. He's in another good lineup. He's going to hit near the top of it. He can score runs. He can drive some in. He's actually going to hit some home runs. He probably won't steal too many bases, but he's a good four-category player. He's a good source of batting average, too. I like Adam Eaton. I just want him to stay healthy. On the other side for me, though, Alexi Ramirez got priced up at a point where I won't have any shares of him this year.
Yeah, I've got him in grasp ball, and I'm glad I do. Samardzija scares me in that ballpark DVR. It's not Oakland. You know, this is a launching pad he's going to, and I that scares me.
He's given up a lot of home runs this spring, but he gets a lot of ground balls, too. Each of the last two seasons has been over 1.5 ground balls to every fly ball, so he's certainly trending in the right direction, almost an extreme ground baller, if you will, and one that can strike guys out. So if, as long as he keeps that walk rate down, I don't think the park effects are going to hurt him that badly at the cell. But I know he's struggled with the long ball so far this spring.
Let's revisit him halfway through the season.
I imagine we will. I've got a little bit on him as far as a few different leagues where I've taken the chance. Moving on to Cleveland, team I know you follow very closely. Who do you like? Who's underrated there and who's overrated?
Brandon Moss is my underrated guy. Brandon Moss, I think, is going to hit 30 home runs for Cleveland and hit 240. Yes, that's Adam Dunn numbers. However, I think it's going to be very helpful to have this guy in the middle of the lineup around Santana and Brantley. I think Brandon Moss is going to go off and have a great year. My overrated guy, you can guess, is Jason Kipnis.
Yeah, Kipnis.
I'm not nuts about Kipnis. I know he's had a very good spring. I know the buzz is good. I'm not there yet.
I'm still worried about Brandon Moss's hip. Otherwise, I'd be there on, as far as liking him as someone who's underrated. I see where your concerns come from. And Kipnis, Price to me, is at least at a spot where I would take a chance on him, but I don't have him anywhere just yet. Overrated for me, Yan Gomes. I like him, but the price became too high this year. I'm shut out on him right now. I like Carlos Carrasco. I think he did figure it out down the stretch last year. I think he's going to sustain that. And the price is actually lower than even like Jake Arrieta, for example, which makes sense. Arrieta did it for almost a full season. Carrasco did it for about 2 months. But I think we're going to see more really big things from Carlos Carrasco over the course of this season.
I agree with you. I think he's going to have a great year.
Let's move on to the Royals. Overrated on the Royals. They don't have a lot of guys that get hyped up too much. Even Eric Hosmer's price has come down. But I'm worried about the health of Alex Gordon. I think he's their most overrated player right now from a fantasy standpoint because I think the power might dry up as a result of that wrist injury that he's been slowed with this spring.
And I'm worried about Sal Perez. I mean, how many more games can this guy catch? They're going to run him into the ground, and I really don't like that they do that, and I think it affected him terribly last year. He started pulling everything in the second half. I think Sal Perez is a concern for me, and I was the first guy on his bandwagon 3 years ago.
Yeah, I think Ned Yost tends to be pretty unapologetic about the workload he puts on Salvador Perez, and if I'm looking for an underrated player on this roster, two come to mind. Yordano Ventura, for one, I'm amazed he's not overpriced given what he did.
He doesn't strike anybody out.
But I think he's got the ability to add that. Lorenzo Cain, though, even a little more of a track record. Why don't more people want Lorenzo Cain on their rosters?
You know I love him, but you never were on Lorenzo Cain. I always thought you didn't like him as much as me, and I'm nuts about Lorenzo Cain simply because I think he's got power that we haven't seen yet. He's stealing bases, he's driving in runs, he's scoring runs, he's doing everything for that club.
I'd like to see him walk a little more. I think last year the BABIP was a big part of why the average ticked up. I think he's more of like a 265, 270 hitter than a 300 guy. That's still okay. 28 of 33 as a base stealer last year on a team that will run a lot.
Nice.
If you're right, if the power shows up, if he goes from 5 home runs to 10 or 12, if he's a dozen home runs and 30 steals with a good average, people are going to be really excited and paying a lot more for Lorenzo Cain a year from now.
Tough park to hit home runs in, and you got to remember that. That's a really tough place. The other guy I think that's underrated is Danny Duffy. I think Danny Duffy is going to be a star, and I really like what he brings to that rotation, which has been weakened badly with the loss of Shields. But I like Danny Duffy this year.
Could definitely see that. Now let's take a look here at the Tigers. I think Nick Castellanos is underrated right now. I mean, I think he's a guy that outside the top 200 overall in drafts, even the top 300 sometimes, it seemed like the longer he spent time at a level, the more he started to adjust as a minor league player. I think we're going to see some nice adjustments from him, and there's that possibility too that he could emerge to be the number two hitter in that lineup at some point.
I think J.D. Martinez is the underrated guy. I still think he's going to be the beneficiary of Cabrera and the other Martinez. This guy he broke out last year, and I think he's going to sustain it. My overrated guy is Anthony Goes. I don't know where he's going, but people think he's going to hit, that he's going to steal bases, and he's having a terrific spring. I think he's going to be a platoon player before it's all over.
I think for me, Ghost is changing up his swing, so maybe there's a chance he puts it together, but he should be platoon with Rajai Davis, and he's a good defender, good real-life player, but maybe not a very good fantasy player. We'll have to see how those adjustments hold up. But I look at the Tigers, and the guy that I think is kind of overrated, I mean, Cespedes might fit the description too, but Ian Kinsler, I think his collapse is sort of here. I think double-digit home runs and steals will probably be there, but I could see the batting average falling a little bit. He pulls everything. He didn't walk very much last year. The lineup's going to help kind of cushion the blow. He'll score a lot of runs because when he gets on base, Miggy's going to drive him in, or V-Mart's going to drive him in, or Martinez or Cespedes will drive him in. The Tigers are going to put lots of runs on the board, and Kinsler, just because of where he's at in the order, will be a part of that. But I think we're going to see another step back from him this year.
Very possible. I can't disagree with that, even though he's had a fairly good spring. Let's move on to the Texas Rangers.
Well, let's get the Twins quick, and then we'll go to the West. Sorry. We still got the Twins here. Underrated for me.
Where are my Twins? Oh, here they are. Okay, I've got them.
All right, underrated on the Twins. A couple different names popped up. For me, Oswaldo Arcia should get more respect than he does. I think he's their underrated player, and maybe a couple of their starters, even Hughes and Santana, are priced affordably. Danny Santana, though, is the guy that I think is overrated. I think he's a nice player, but nothing close to the player we saw last year.
I don't have an overrated guy. The only guy that comes to mind could be Joe Mauer, but I know he's depressed, so I can't say that he's overrated anymore. But Oswaldo Arcia is my underrated guy.
So we're in agreement on that one. Moving on to the West, we will start with the Rangers. Underrated player on the Rangers. Where do you want to go here? For me, it's Shin-Soo Choo, because price compared to last year, considerably lower. I know injuries were a problem for him from almost the entire season a year ago. Maybe he doesn't run quite as much, but for a top 150 pick instead of a top 30 pick, sign me up for as many shares of Shin-Soo Choo as I can possibly get.
Yeah, that's good call. I think it's Ryan Rua. I don't think people realize what a good bat this guy has, and he's going way late in drafts, if at all. He may even be on your waiver wire. If anything, he's going to platoon, or he could win the job in left field outright. Got a nice right-handed power bat, Ryan Rua.
Yeah, I like Rua too. I think he's a good potential like fifth outfielder type if you're in a league where you have to use five. Could be good cheap power. Looking for an overrated player here, the one that comes to mind immediately is Elvis Andrus.
Yes, sir.
He's possibly going to move down in the order, so he's not going to get the benefit of runs scored that he usually gets when he hits first or second if he's not in one of those spots. Stolen bases have been below 30 in two of the last three seasons. You're not going to get anything in terms of home runs. If he's low in the order, he's not going to drive in runs. What is there here?
Well, I think if Profar were healthy, he'd be their shortstop by now. But he's not healthy, and Andrus is still there, and I think he's their most overrated guy. I agree with you.
Moving on to Oakland, lots of choices here, potentially underrated players, especially because they've just got so much talent. I want to start with the overrated player, though. I think Sonny Gray is actually overrated. I have him on a couple of teams in leagues where he went for less money than I expected or a later pick than I expected, but the thing I'm worried about with Sonny Gray is that he's going to be this workhorse type who really doesn't give you the elite strikeout rate, which is a good real-life pitcher, but fantasy owners are treating him like he's a true ace, and I'm just not quite sure he's that guy yet.
Yeah, I agree with that. And my underrated guy is Stephen Vogt. I think he is, as a catcher or a designated hitter, I think he's going to give you a profit.
I like Semien and Laurie both as underrated players. I think Laurie, it's like we've been waiting for a long time, but I wouldn't be surprised if he finally put it together. And in Semien's case, I'm actually surprised the price didn't take off over the course of spring training. Moving on to the Astros, underrated in Houston. I'm beginning to think somehow George Springer has been underrated, Bernie. Even though he's going in the first three rounds of some drafts, even though he went, I think it was 11th overall in one of the drafts this weekend, in Las Vegas, I feel like maybe we're missing something with Springer and that he's going to be an elite player here in 2015.
Yeah, you know, if he cuts down the strikeouts, the home runs are going to be there. Same thing with Chris Carter. But my underrated guy is Jed Lowry. I think he's found a new life, and I think he's going to do a good job. And I want him in some leagues because he's going to go for nothing.
Looking for an overrated player in Houston, I can't find one. Who on this team?
Kevin Gattis.
It's I like Gattis though. I think the price is good. I don't have Gattis because the playing time's up. But you don't believe in him?
No, I really don't. I think he's going to hit the Crawford boxes a lot. I think it was a nice move for them, but I'm still not a believer. I think he's a defensive deficiency. He's got a DH, and when he does, I think he's going to strike out a lot. That team is going to have a humongous number of strikeouts. Yeah, the home runs will be there, but I don't know what else he gives you.
Moving on to the Mariners, I hate to say it, overrated right now for me, Felix Hernandez. Love how he was great last year. 2.14 ERA, 0.92 WHIP, 2.48 in terms of the strikeout total. But look at the 3 years before that. ERA at 3 or slightly above, whips that were quite a bit higher than last year. What was so different about last year for him skills-wise, and is it actually sustainable? Like that to me is like a guy that you're paying for last year's production when he's more likely to do something that he did between 2011 and 2013. Great seasons, great pitcher, but a guy that just got overpriced, who I will not have anywhere in 2015.
I wish I could. I'll pay the price for him. He got clobbered yesterday, or the day before yesterday, I think, or yesterday. There's good and bad in him, but I would pay the price because I think he's that good. My overrated guy is Robbie Cano. You're paying for home runs that you're not going to get. I'm paying for him in Grasswall at $41. I'm not going to get the home runs. They're just not going to be there. Yeah, he's going to drive in runs. He's going to have good batting average, and he's going to score runs. And I think he's going to be helped with the new lineup there in Seattle. But I still think he's overrated. My underrated guy is Mike Zunino. I think you're going to get a nice home run return from Mike Zunino.
I think there's a handful of players. I can't even settle on one. I think Seth Smith, for his role, is actually going to be underrated. Yeah. He's going to play against righties and maybe be high up in the order, too, where he's going to get a lot of chances to score runs and drive them in. I think he gets overlooked. I think Taijuan Walker finally got some buzz this spring, but I'm buying in quite a bit. Paxton's underrated. Even Hisashi Iwakuma, I think, is underrated. They have a lot of players who are underrated and a handful that are overrated. I think Cano in some circles gets overpriced, like you said. I made my case for Felix. I love King Felix, too. This is not an anti-King Felix rant to me.
I understand what you're saying.
It's that this time last year, you could draft him between 35th and 40th overall, and now you got to pay a first-round pick to get him, which I think he's just the same guy. I think he's the same great pitcher he's always been, just coming off of what might be the career best year.
And now that brings us, what, to the Angels?
The Angels, the 30th and final team. Overrated on the Angels. Where do you go?
Matt Joyce.
Yeah, I don't like Matt Joyce at all.
You know, I think he's hitting, you know, high up in the lineup. I don't get it, but
we'll see if it lasts, right? Who knows if that sticks?
I don't know. And my underrated guy, of course, is Cole Calhoun.
My overrated guy is Cole Calhoun. We're on opposite sides of that one. But I have him in the stake league, so now I have to like him.
You're going to trade him to me, so that's okay.
Nah, I paid the right price for him. It's the first time. It's first draft or auction I've seen this spring where Cole Calhoun went for an appropriate price. So be it.
By that time, DVR, I had no money.
Yeah, that's true. Well, underrated for me on this team is Houston Street. I know the stuff isn't lights out, but he still gets elite results when he pitches. I know health is a major problem for him, but he finds a way to get it done. But it's funny to me because, I mean, Cole Calhoun, I hate having players where I'm completely entrenched on them. And it's proof that I really don't. Like, there's a price for every player, right? It's not as though I'm stubborn to the point where I say, well, I won't have Cole Calhoun anywhere. I mean, I can look at a player and say it's unlikely I'll have a player anywhere because I'm not willing to pay the price that it's going to take to get them because the room I'm in always likes them more or often likes them more. But I actually have shares of Calhoun and Sonny Gray, and if you'd asked me a month ago if I thought I'd have any shares, I would have said no.
Well, I think, you know, fantasy is so great because we all have different opinions and we all go into our drafts and auctions with our target guys. And we're disappointed when we don't get him, and we're thrilled when we do. And it's just having that guy on your team that you like. There's nothing like that. I really enjoy it.
That's what I like. Of all the teams I built, I mean, I always tend to just decide that I like my teams after they're done. The one that I enjoy the most, or the one I will have the most fun rooting for, is my NL Labor team. Because it's got Harper, it's got Puig, it's got a bunch of the fun guys on it that I want to have. Like that team to me is going to be the most entertaining to watch, but my most boring team is probably the Stake League team, and it's actually probably as well constructed as any of them that I have.
Yeah, and that you got to like your team, or it's no fun.
No, you got to make trades if you don't like your team.
Right. We welcomed a new sponsor tonight, and I think that's great.
Absolutely. Be sure to download Side League for iOS or Android. Side League levels the DFS playing field by offering 25-person contests with no salary cap by automatically pairing you with friends. Side League ensures you don't end up competing in huge contests full of sharks. You've never had a better chance to win. Go to sideleague.com now. You can download Side League for Android or iPhone. Use the promo code SHORT1 for a free $5 deposit. Bernie, before we sign off, what's coming up on the blog this week?
I just finished on the blog the National League predictions. The American League predictions will come out tomorrow. And Derek, I just want to tell you, you are one click away from Francisco Lindor.
And yeah, hopefully I don't have to sleep on it, but I may just have to sleep on it. I may wake up and the offer may be gone. I realize that is a...
No, the offer will not be gone.
All right. That's good. That's because I need rest. I need rest in a big way.
You're going to get that rest because when you are clear-headed, you're going to have Lindor on your club. And I love Lindor. Don't get me wrong, but I have a good shortstop.
Oh, in grass ball, do stats at AAA count? That's the problem.
Don't worry. He's coming up. And then you're going to have him all next year.
I'll have him from June 1st on this year and all of next year, and then I'll have to extend him. And stolen bases aren't their own category in this league.
And you can extend him.
I want to take that trade, and there's a voice in my head saying, nah, you shouldn't do it. And I'm not really sure why that voice is saying it, but that's what it's saying right now. But I'll sleep on it. We'll see if that voice goes away. I'll sleep on that side and crush the voice if I can do it. All right, it's going to wrap things up for this episode of Short Hops. Views and opinions of Short Hops, those of Derek and Bernie, and no other entity. If you'd like to sponsor this podcast, please contact Shannon at rotowire.com. Bernie, it's been a pleasure as always. Look forward to doing it again next week.
Yeah, I'm sorry we went long today, but I hope you enjoyed what we talked about. We'll talk to you next week after the season begins on when? Sunday night?
Sunday night, Cubs and Cardinals. Enjoy opening night and opening day. We'll talk to you next week.